Welcome in the homie.
TK.
The hottest thing in women's sports right here.
Come on, man.
Hey!
And shout out to my girl TK too, because Tuesday she was cooking. She had things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then a small window opened up that she didn't realize, and she hopped in. I was already, when she told me, I was like, oh yeah, go handle that, do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a small window where she could pull up, and she pulled up for like 10 minutes and it was like, no, I couldn't leave you hanging. And it was my birthday too. She's like, I can't leave you hanging on your birthday. So she pulled up, you know, about 10-15 minutes. We talked how crazy people were for hating on WNBA players wanting to get paid. Your surprise about like the Hogan reaction was my surprise to how many people were against WNBA players getting paid.
Trista, and first of all, what's up, TK?
What up, y'all?
Trista and Joy Taylor had a very interesting conversation about this very subject, and they came to the conclusion that those men who comment on women's pay on social media have never actually touched a woman.
That could be the case.
Let's start with the podcast, though. Joy Taylor's been the subject of a lot of conversation over the last few months. And she sat down with your crew over at the Let Her Shoot podcast. And Trista texted me at like 9 and was like, hey, when you get a chance, the pod drop today, can you listen to it? I was like, child, I listened to that podcast about 4 hours ago. I was waiting for this podcast to drop, and it did not disappoint. Y'all killed it.
Thank you. It was a fine line, man, because, you know, I think for me, as someone who's been in hot water and controversy and had the world create a narrative about me that I did not like, I felt sensitive to being very direct and being like, yo, you know, spill the beans. What's poppin', you know? And like, we booked this with her before her contract ended at Fox.
Mm.
So we booked it like we were trying to get on her calendar, y'all, for like a month. And like, I'm going back with her personal assistant, and like Mondays don't work for her. We've got to do Tuesdays because she's got another thing, and then she can only do the evenings. And because, you know, she's got her show on FS1. And then I saw the news and I texted my co-host Sarah, and I was like, you think she's still going to do this? I don't, like, she had already booked, and I'm like, man, I might just cancel if I'm her. Mm-hmm. So I was at All-Star weekend, and I hit her PA up, and I'm like, hey, you know, just confirming that Tuesday's still good. And she was like, yep, also, we can do earlier now. And I was like, yeah, let's do earlier. And so I was like, okay, how much are we really going to talk about, because it's a women's sports podcast. This isn't higher learning, right? Like, this isn't a dish tell all culture pod. I mean, what's a dish pod, but not about the business, right? So I was like, okay, we'll just see where her temp's at. And put together sort of a rundown, and then she started so loose based on the intro that we just literally just flowed.
Went with it. Yeah.
From there, just like, okay, well, everything, like how we're structuring this rundown, is out the window. Let's just go with the flow and see what will come of it. And she was, I think, overall very open. If you already know what's going on with Joy, she was very open. If you have no clue what's going on with Joy, you probably were lost.
E me, because for whatever reason, I had a brain freeze this morning because I was looking for the interview. I was ready. You told me last week, like, yeah, Tuesday or whatever. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be tapped in. And like all morning when I was getting ready and listening to some things and doing some stuff, I kept refreshing the Heat Check podcast. Because for some reason I was thinking that's where it's going to be at. I didn't even think about the whole other feed, and I haven't listened to it yet. I was looking in the wrong place. I was like, well, I don't know. Does it post at 9 a.m. or when's
it
going
to happen? I even hit our producer up, and I was like, Sarah's co-host and producer, and I was like, listen, let's not mess around. Let's get the YouTube up. Tuesday a.m. early and the pod feed up Tuesday early. Let's not 9 a.m., 10 a.m. No, it's like as soon as midnight drops, this thing needs to be available.
I even went no lie, man. I don't know why I had to. I was stuck on the heat check. But I even went to YouTube and put in Trista Crick, heat crick, or heat check. Is there new video? Like, where is it at? I was, no lie, I was looking for like 30 minutes this morning.
That's
like,
a testament to what we're trying to build over Let Her Shoot, which clearly, you heard the intro, Damien. We might need a Let Her Shoot bonnet.
Well, the TK bonnets are a thing. Like, that was a great intro to the pod. It was just very like, what is happening? What am I listening to? But the conversation with Joy was terrific. Like, you guys had, that was a great conversation. You touched on some really interesting things. I text you that part when she was talking about, yeah, like, I don't have kids, I don't have pets. Sometimes I just go home and I sit in the dark in silence. And that, like, is a relaxing thing for her. And she talked about therapy. She talked about drinking. Like, it was.
She really did.
It was pretty open.
Everything, you know, and you can tell she was comfortable. And I encourage all the Chatty House to please go to YouTube. Please go to Spotify or wherever you get your podcast and listen to it. It would mean the world to me. Those who are on my team are concerned that interviews are getting less interest than our normal pods, and I'm trying to convince them that's not the case. But so I think what was stuck out was that I would ask her something, or Sarah would ask her something, and her answer would be like 8 minutes long. She wasn't giving the, like, I'm uncomfortable, I'm happy to do this in a very professional way, I'll give you 30-second answers and we'll keep it pushing. She was like, oh, and another thing, and another thing, and another thing. And when we were, like, ready to close it out, and I'm like, all right, well, thanks for joining us. She's like, yeah, you know, and this is, like, you got to stay tuned for this. And, you know, networks have reputations, and so do I. And so I thought actually the part about her and her not shying away from her sexuality was probably the most insightful thing.
So that was my favorite part. But maybe not for the reason that you would think. Like, listening to her talk about it was fascinating. When she talks about, like, there's only so many TV appropriate clothes that you can have, and my boobs sit right under my chin. Like, what do you want me to do? But the best part of it wasn't what Joy said; it was what Trista said. Trista knows this. Katie loves Trista's style, loves it. Everything about it. Trista's talking to Joy, and you mentioned that you struggle with, like, your own femininity.
I think the thing about being in this space is you very much are aware that your credibility is under scrutiny. And I've got so many male friends in decision-making spaces, and I see what and hear what they say about people that I respect, but that they, and these are women and men, it's not just men saying these things. And so it's almost kind of like Angel Reese-esque, where it's like, once you decide that you don't think she's good, or once you decide that a pundit isn't professional or shows too much skin or doesn't have credibility for whatever reason, that's really hard to change. And so I made it a conscious effort to not lean into that. And so much so that I almost shy away from it, right? And so much so that it's like, oh, Trista's in a sports bra, she's thirst trapping. Like, that's for almost no anyone else, that would just be like another day at the gym, right? It's like I'm a Saudi, like, woman, right?
It's something completely different. Trista's in a sports bra. Oh, and she covers sports. Oh, she's gay.
Yep. Or Trista's in a sports bra. She must be working on her mom's house.
Well, and which that's what we all know is the deal. Trista's in a sports bra. She's probably chopping wood somewhere.
Yeah. They, you know, I always thought Joy was actually, is pretty good at what she did. I don't always agree with her. That's like her sports takes. She'd be hating on Brock Purdy all the time. So I'd always
she said something. She said something interesting about that too, yeah. But go ahead.
But I always thought when I look at people, not just women, but people in these entertainment spaces, I'm like, look, anybody can read a box score. And I don't need somebody to tell me LeBron James is good at basketball. You know what I mean? Like I see that. Know how to speak in an entertaining way. Know how to have a conversation in an entertaining manner while still sounding knowledgeable about what you're talking about. And I thought she was great at that. I think she's really good at that. And she's I always believed, while she is a pretty face, she wasn't just there because she was a pretty face. She could have an entertaining, knowledgeable conversation about sports or life. And I always thought that was a big reason as to why she was there. And I always appreciated that about watching her, even if I didn't agree with what she was saying. It didn't bother me. I was just like, I see why she's here. I get it.
She talked about, because she started locally, and yes, she talked about the different, you mentioned like Brock Purdy and LeBron, and like she was like, that's what national media is. It's the surface stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you really learn how to do this on the local side because that's where you're ingrained in the stuff. But all of the stuff that she said about being in the national media versus the local media is the same exact things we say when it says, stop worrying about what so-and-so is saying about covering the Sacramento Kings. They're covering the surface of it. Mm-hmm. We're the ones who are digging into the trenches to figure out what's going on. She was like, yeah, all of this stuff is surface. You don't really have to research that much. Mm-hmm. You just have to kind of pay attention, form an opinion, and keep it moving because you're going to change subjects in 7 minutes.
Right.
And I thought that was that's a thing that those people don't acknowledge very often because they want you to believe that they're experts, like level 10 experts on everything they talk about. When in actuality, she was just like, no, that's not what we do. We have to move on to the next thing. So we're just checking the, you know, covering the surface and keeping it moving.
Yep.
Just high level headlines.
That's really.
Just kind of having, just so that when you're at the airport drinking a brew at 10 a.m., you can have something that you can watch in a very mindless way. I thought her takes in general on life are very unique. And her story, I didn't know a lot about her upbringing until we did this interview. And Joy's background would be like if my dad never left the picture. And as sociopathic and abusive as my dad was, at least I was rid of him pretty much by 6 years old. But Joy didn't have that. And so there's a kinship that I feel for her as one of the only opinionists as a woman in the space. As someone who gets unfairly depicted as being X, Y, or Z. My X, Y, or Z is different than her X, Y, or Z, but I still don't like it. And her being unapologetic about what she feels. And, like, she's probably more confident in her own skill set and, like, what fame feels like than I am. Because she's like, no, I know when an interview goes left, most likely it's not my fault. It's probably both of ours fault. And I never, like, blame myself for these things. And so, yeah, I really respect someone who not only is willing to go there, which she seems very willing to go there. You know, I think one of the things she recently said is that she believes prostitution should be legal so that this guy Craig in the basement doesn't take his rage out on us on the comment section. And he has someone to put his wet willy in. Pause. And so I actually agree with that. But that made, you know, big national news. And so I appreciate someone who's willing to be 10 toes down on their opinion. Even if we don't agree with your tiering system or your ranking or whatever it is, she's very clear about, like, this stuff doesn't matter. This is not anything groundbreaking. We're just passing the time and trying to be entertaining. This is not diplomacy. It's not hard news. And so thus, I'm going to continue to do me and not worry about whether that's eroding my credibility, which I thought was like a really unique way of looking at it.
You know what's interesting about that? Because it caught my attention when she, obviously, the talking about prostitution being legal and her the line about, you know, those people who talk about women's pay in the WNBA and so on and so forth and who are so critical of women, like they've never been with women. It's not just that. Like, you legalize prostitution in that regard. And I know there's a bit of tongue-in-cheek into that, but it's also, those people hate women. And that's not, women being hated in this country isn't unique to men who can't get one. That's as old as racism. like women are always, and you are being in a very male-dominated space, it's like, I don't have to, Kenny and I, we don't have to calculate every move we make. We're never going to be damaged because of where we work. Like, Kenny and I go work for Spock Sports. We're never going to be damaged by it. We go work for CBS Sports. We're not going to be damaged by it. You have so much that you have to deal with because you worked at Barstool. And that is something.
It almost crushed us before we could even get going.
Facts, right. Right. And that's something that we in this space will never, ever, ever have to deal with. You talked about thirst traps and what you wear. Sarah Hodges covers sports, and her approach to social media is very different than, say, like Morgan Reagan, who both beautiful young women. Sarah will post all of it on social media. Morgan Reagan will not. And those are like conscious decisions that each of those people have to make. If I want to post a shirtless picture today, I could, and I would never have to think twice about it. Mm-hmm. It's like the first picture on my feed.
It's pinned. It's literally pinned.
It's very pinned.
It's a thirst video.
I will make people believe that that's what I look like right now today, whether I do or I don't. Not relevant. But that's what I will make people believe. That's the first picture you're going to see. And I never have to think twice about that.
Yeah, it's that's the part I struggle with the most, is because truthfully, in the past, and there's vestiges of it still that come up, right? Which is like internalized misogyny, even from a woman, which is when I see people who lean into that, I'm like, you could be so much more. Why are you doing that? And that's not fair either. And I think really Joy herself. I had multiple, she doesn't know this, but I had multiple conversations with the therapist about like that idea of like balancing that, and how at one point long nails used to mean something, and like false eyelashes mean something, and nothing positive, by the way. And how femininity has been policed. And because I have so much respect for Joy herself and that she does that, that sort of changed my mentality in like 2019, 2020, where I used to sort of judge that also. And it's still really hard to not like almost like knee jerk do it when you see it on your page. Like, oh, God, you know, what is this?
You on the higher learn, I just saw the clip. I haven't seen the whole conversation, but I think on the Higher Learning podcast, she talks about how, you know, she just wants to be done with it and go away and just disappear. And the caption was like, Joy talks about she wants to retire. And you said, no, that's cap. Did you talk about why you feel that's cap on the show, or she said something different?
She said that there's like announcements coming. So, I mean, I don't know about you, Damien. It felt like it was not over.
Oh, no.
At all.
Mm-mm. Not only was it not over, whatever she's doing next is, she knows what it is. Yeah, like she knows what she's doing next.
In works. What it felt like to me from the conversation, because she was talking about another low-key great part of the conversation when we were talking about like, hey, isn't it odd that the Stud Buds can be so wildly popular, and Voldestool is what I'm calling it on Letter Shoot now, that Voldestool can equally be as popular, and that people are wanting to lean into more Pat McAfee, more Dave, you know, on him on being on Fox Noon kickoff and them sort of funneling their resources there. And she talked about, like, listen, there's a lot of people who want dried chicken, you know, boiled chicken and rice. And, like, it's actually, there's, like, a lot of places you can find that. Almost all of the places are that. But the beauty is there's a lot of places that you can be you and express yourself fully, uniquely, unapologetically. And there's an audience for that too. And there's money being poured into that too. So as I was watching it back this morning, because I wanted to see how it got cut and how it sounded, I was like, oh, she's going independent. Mm. To me, it feels like Joy might start. And I have no idea. I didn't ask her, like, offline. But to me, that felt like I'm going to start my own thing where I don't have to worry about a network. Maybe she does something with Gilbert Arenas. I asked her about that, and she said, you know, he's going to be on the podcast. But she's teasing the fact that, like, I might be aligned with someone that you don't expect me to be aligned with. Hmm. But people didn't expect me to also be aligned with Fox. Mm-hmm. And that's why I joked, and I said, oh, so you're going to Barstool. And she said, I am not going to Barstool. That's the one place we know she's.
I don't even know who I would expect Joy Taylor to be aligned with. Like, I don't
she
have any
have
idea.
She doesn't have any comps.
Yeah,
I don't have any comps.
Know who to. But you mentioned her starting her own thing. 4 months ago-ish, you started your own thing on Instagram, the Daily W Sports. Over WNBA All-Star Weekend, this blew up. Like, this page absolutely blew up. You are a genius when it comes to content creation. And I had to pull this up because I knew it was close, and I'm sure you know this already, but I knew it was close. And your royal family reel hit 1.1 million.
Let's go, baby.
And that's
Usain Bolt like that joint, y'all.
Not damn. Tagged in it, not the subject of it. Found it on Instagram and responded to it.
It was like, yes.
That's pretty
the
fire.
Royal family be racist. Like, smash the like button. A former lioness that played for Team England commented, yes, this is what they do. They want to erase us. You click on her page, first picture, her with the royal family as a member of Team England.
Mm. Making moves, baby. Doing numbers, as Larry June would say.
Yeah, it feels good to be a voice for people who need that, you know? And, like, there were so many comments, if you read it, that were like, when we say it, everyone's like, you're tripping. Mm-hmm. Oh, like, you're just making too much out of it. And so it's kind of like, well, when the white girl says it, you know it's kind of
What
true.
Did they call you? In that post that you really loved, what did they called you something. Hold on, let me find it. Uncle Sarah.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is, go one if you're not following the Daily W yet, the Daily W Sports, go follow that. But you are cooking with this Instagram page. You guys are creating so much content, and to see that you have a couple of posts that have done really, really well, but that one's in a different stratosphere.
Yeah. We hit 10,000 when I flew in to Denver, and we are at 12.4 now, 12.5 now, a week later. And yeah, it's been really cool to watch. Oh,
he's excited.
Oh,
God. Oh.
What is
there? Who's the other dog?
Krista can't find the mute button. That's why it's funny. I can see her looking at the screen, desperately trying to find the mute button.
Was there another dog there? Oh, my.
The dog hasn't stopped barking, so Trista's still muted, begging the dog to stop barking.
Oh,
that was,
man.
Yeah, that, oh, who even got right. who even got close enough to the Crick estate to be able to get
back
out
up.
And worked up like
back
that.
Up.
And
she's still turned up.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's still muted.
Somebody pissed her.
Yeah, somebody. We ain't even had the chance to bring up the Luka Doncic Men's Health magazine yet. And
we gotta talk about it, Ollie. Ollie, come here.
Hey, where's Emma?
She's at home. I'm at the workspace right now.
Oh, okay.
So we have a, there's this business in the workspace that, come on, man. Don't you see? Don't you see right there? Anyway, they've used every conference room, literally every single one that it's in this building they've taken because they've got like a huddle up meeting. So I am forced to be on the roof to take this.
Okay.
And so that's where I am right now, which is normally a pretty chill, nice spot. But when they bring other dogs up here, we got a little issues. So I think we're starting to calm down.
What?
Luca.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. What's your thought about Luca, men's health, all this other? I got a thought too, but I'm gonna hear what you got to say.
I think we have to thank Nico as fans, as basketball fans, for lighting a fire of shade under Luca, because I just don't think his mentality was ever going to allow him to lose the weight and really take his fitness seriously. Mm-hmm. And I always said to friends, if Luca ever spends a full off season in LA, adopting the LA lifestyle and gets in shape, the level of Luca that we'll see is three levels up. Mm. And I just didn't ever think that was going to happen because he likes to party. He likes to, that was, as you guys know, as somebody who was sort of very close to the scouting of Luca when the Kings could have taken him, that was pretty much the rap on him, was that he parties too much, he eats too much, he doesn't take care of his body, he drinks, he does hookah. He's like a sort of an international James Harden. Mm-hmm. And like, what is that going to be? And I think that has continued to sort of stay the rap. And was one of the reasons that Nico traded him was, I don't think I want to give this guy $400 million when I think his body's breaking down mostly because of him and the choices that he makes. Even though we can say whatever you want to say, and another conversation could be made about Anthony Davis and his body breaking down. Mm. But I think that level of shock and hurt and embarrassment and feeling like a big slap in the face after you just took a team to the finals kind of is like, all right, well, I'll show you exactly what I can do and what I can be. And I think being around LeBron and how he takes care of his body and his work ethic has been influential. I don't know how much it's changed things, but I think it's effective. And being in LA itself is a great, like, there's nothing that makes you feel fatter than walking around LA. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't really, you're like, damn, I need to drop 15. Doesn't matter. You could be a size zero. And there's just that many sexy, undressed people walking around eating their green salads and green juice, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to that, I think it's going to be really cool to see Luca try and sustain that because, you know, he's a big boy. He's like tops out at 270. So I'd like to see him continue to. He clearly has like a James Harden level of roller coastery, yeah. Mm-hmm. Weight increase, weight decrease kind of a thing. We've seen the many shapes of Luca over the years.
See, shapes of Luca's wild.
See, I like to see that from Luca. That's great. Everybody take your health seriously. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's dope. The problem with Luca was in his blood. Was in his heart. He gonna whine forever. It don't matter how many push-ups he can do. He gonna whine and complain forever. That's who he is. He's not gonna play defense. That's who he is. He's going, when the ball's not in his hands, it's not like, oh, I'm healthy now, I'm gonna start cutting and moving without the ball and set screens for other. No, I'm gonna stand over there because I'm not involved in the play. And those are gonna be the reasons why he's not. It's going to be difficult for him to win a championship or put a team around him to win a championship. When he was fat, he averaged 32. Like, what are you going to average now, 42? I don't think so. He's going to still have the same type of production. He's going to be a productive player. the things that hold him back, dumbbells can't help. That's how I look.
Yeah,
at
I think you're. I think you're minimizing it a little bit too much. Like, I think he could move differently on the defensive end as
but
a lighter
he won't.
Player.
That's what I believe. Mm. He won't. That's my belief of Luka. It's not. It's never been a whether he can't or can, because he's been. He was healthy his rookie season and didn't play no defense in the bubble. He was in great shape and looked skinny, and he still didn't defend. He won't. It's in his blood and his mind. That's the holdup, I believe.
In his blood is wild. I was like, what? Alcohol is in his blood? What could be in his blood? His DNA. He's like, he's got Weiner in his DNA. So does James Harden, and James Harden's never won anything. So does, to a degree, Russell Westbrook's not cutting when he didn't have the ball, like later in his career. And I think most superstars don't really want to cut without the ball. Mm-hmm. They just don't. So, yeah, I mean, Dame Lillard doesn't play defense. Dame Lillard doesn't cut without the ball. You could say that for a lot of high-usage guards. Donovan Mitchell's not cutting. Donovan Mitchell's not playing.
I agree. Defense. That's why I don't think much is going to change. Just because he's in shape.
These guards in general don't defend. But I think going to the finals and going to the Western Conference Finals team that he had with Jalen Brunson is very impressive, and you can get by a lot. It just depends on your matchups, right? And they beat OKC.
I think it's weird that we don't talk like
they did.
This team was a 3 seed.
Lakers.
The Lakers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, talking about this upcoming season. Mm-hmm. This team is a 3 seed, and I think sometimes we talk about them like they were fighting for the play-in. This is a 50, I can't remember if it was 50 wins or 50-plus win basketball team.
Mm-hmm. I think it's 51, 52.
Yeah, and so, you know, you have, you know, of course you had Anthony Davis part of that season. You had Luka Doncic part of that season. I don't know how many games Anthony Davis played in the Lakers uniform, but I don't know that much has changed in either direction with this Los Angeles Lakers team for me to think that they're anything more or less than a 50, 51, 52, 53 win basketball team. What happens from there? I have no idea.
I
have an idea.
Okay.
Go ahead, Tristan.
I think they're going to be a good regular season team, as we saw. I think they are slightly significantly worse losing Dorian Finney-Smith and obviously Taurean Prince, who left 2 years ago. I think they just don't really have those 3-and-D guys to space the floor. You're seeing Dalton Connect's not the guy. He's not going to be the one to do that. Austin Reeves is not really that guy. He sort of fades to the background now that Luka is there. The roster's wonky to me. I don't know that DeAndre Ayton helps them in any meaningful way. I think maybe in the regular season, like you're saying, 48 to 53 wins. But this is not a team that can sustain really that level of a long season and then in the postseason, just based on how old LeBron is, based on their lack of depth, and based on how the roster is constructed. So to me, this is like a team that first round, second round, at max, and that's pretty much where we're at.
And that's the same thing I was going to say. Because of how they lost last year, it's hard to look at this team as they are and be like, yeah, well, you know, they were 3 seed last year. They get dogged out by OKC. They'd get dogged out by Houston probably because they're just not big enough in the paint. And they got DeAndre Ayton, but he's probably like one of the 7-footers in the league who you can't even depend on rebounding for or, you know, any type of rim protection on a consistent basis. And I think it was worth a try. You got him for nothing. So, like, it's worth a try.
He's better than Jackson Hayes. But.
Yeah, and he wouldn't even play Jackson Hayes. JJ wouldn't even play Jackson Hayes. So I think
I think if you don't have the depth in the Western Conference, you can't make it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if your team does not have depth, you just won't make it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why some people may dismiss the Lakers because I off the top of my head, I don't think they're better than OKC, Houston, Denver, or the Clippers. I am a Clippers.
Or Minnesota.
No.
Minnesota did beat their ass. Minnesota beat their ass.
They beat that ass.
I don't care. Do it again. Like, I don't care. Like, I will never. The way y'all talk about the Lakers, that's how I will never care about the Minnesota Timberwolves.
What do you guys think about the somebody had this theory out here of Luka being on men's health, getting, you know, this shine. All of a sudden, new LeBron workout video is out, and this time
he's not practicing
in any Laker gear. It's just regular Nike gear. But LeBron, he couldn't let Luka have the moment. I'm working out. I'm back in the gym.
I love LeBron. He is really comical, isn't he?
I love that guy.
I want to know what goes on inside that brain. Because I truly believe this. He's one of the greatest. Like, the ratio of athleticism, skill, longevity, IQ for the game, business savvy, just personality off the floor in terms of not getting into trouble. All those things are like premium, elite. Mm-hmm. To the level of like self-confidence. Like, he just is so insecure. It's crazy to me how much he desires to be in the spotlight and loved and beloved and to like always clap back. Oh, he reads every comment. I know y'all always think I'm lying about it. We do.
Didn't somebody ask him about Anthony Davis in that question or something? He's like, I know y'all think I'm lying. I'll be seeing y'all think I lie about everything.
It's like, what are we doing, man? And we think you lie because you're insecure.
Right.
That's what it is.
Why would LeBron James be insecure?
I don't know.
Like, what drives his insecurity? Is it the mic thing?
Right now.
Mortality?
I know you're talking about maybe as a whole, but right now, the Luka thing in the Lake, Luka and the Lakers,
that's
is under his skin.
Picking
right
at
now.
Him.
Yeah.
Because they didn't tell him that they were selling the team. They're building around Luka. They're basically saying, we just want him to leave.
And this is the first time that's ever happened to him.
Right.
Ever.
Well, we talked about this. He had it for the first time in his career. It really maybe for the first time since he was 15 years old, he doesn't have control of anything.
No leverage.
Like, he has, you know, in the and that's why I say is part of his insecurity, if he has it, his mortality. He's facing his basketball mortality for the first time. Not because his skills have declined, not because he's still not one of the very best players in the league, which he absolutely is. It's because his current team might not care about him. And he knows, they know, he knows, we all know, he's at the end. No matter how good he is, 24-8-8, it's still the end. You're nearing it. It's just, how close are you? Are you 82 games away? Are you 164 games away? Like, how far away from the end are you? Regardless, it's very, very close. And that's probably difficult to deal with. Then it's an avalanche of this stuff.
Yeah.
Luka, the Lakers sale, you know, Genie, who's his ally, by all intents and purposes out. You know, the big meeting at the fancy Hollywood restaurant without him, and being 40.
To be fair to your original question too, and Tristan, I want your thoughts on this as well. He has always kind of been like this though. Like, you even go back to the cast on the hand after losing the finals. Like, why?
Come on, man.
Like, why are you doing this
for so long?
Just out of nowhere, it came with a cast.
Nowhere.
That was pretty iconic. That man played four games with a broken hand and had that bitch wrapped
before he got to the podium after that four-game sweep. That is iconic.
Why, LeBron? You're great. You're the GOAT in a lot of people's eyes, if not two in other people's eyes. Why?
It's crazy to me. I wish I could know more about why he's this way. I think, too, he's not getting the Kobe treatment, not just because he wasn't drafted there and had his whole career there. I think the Lakers are very – and actually from what I hear from around the league, too, from people who are inside of different organizations, Rob Pelinka's just tired of Rich Paul, just tired of Clutch, and them really putting their finger into every little thing and wanting to be just tightening the screws in every way and exerting control and as much as they can. It doesn't really feel like a partnership to me. Mm. It feels like I really use the word cartel, and I mean it. It really feels like Clutch operates in a very muscly way.
I have a confession.
These are my confessions.
You are now represented by Clutch.
I love LeBron's passive aggressive behavior. Like the picture with Jokic's agent.
Come on.
That was so fantastic.
Come on. This dude's hilarious. I enjoy it.
It is level 10 petty, and I think it's terrific.
I also think it's the funniest. Like, he's so much funnier than KD at this. If he was just trolling us this whole time, like, I'm just going to mess with these guys. I'm just effing with them. It's the best career we've ever seen at that in our entire human history.
That it's all so, it, like you said, passive aggressive. It all has meaning. Even now, like how they talk about the workout. Like, since he's been in LA, when he does these little workout videos, it's at the Lakers facility. He's got Lakers gear on. But this time, I'm at the Clippers facility, just regular Nike gear.
And you know he calculates all of it. You know, like, this is going to go. And I wonder to myself sometimes, like, how many times did you film this? You know? Like, I sometimes get some takes off, and I'm like, nah, that's not the one. That's not the one.
Take two.
And like, how many times you're just like, just keep going. Was there more to that? Because I was confused. Smiling through it all. This is my Campbell's. This is my life. So many memes. What is he going to do when it's all over?
No, the question is, what are we going to do? LeBron. I'm going to miss LeBron.
LeBron knowing the word to every record that came out 5 minutes ago.
Or not knowing the words.
Not knowing
the
words.
Other thing. I'm going to miss LeBron, bro. Come on.
Discovering Migos?
Discovering Migos before Migos was formed was one of the...
Well, our favorite. He knew Kobe was going to have 81. He said that on wax.
Yeah, that is the craziest one of all time.
I knew he was going to have that. I told my boy after he made that first shot, yo, you might have 67 or 80 tonight.
He does have the greatest picture taken in the history of America, though.
Which one?
The Paris Olympics last year.
Oh, yeah.
When they're on the boat and he's got the flag. Oh, yeah.
He said, I'm going to tell my kids this is George Washington. Yeah.
That picture is iconic.
That is
iconic.
Fire. That is
What do you
fire.
Think he does passive-aggressively at home?
Nothing, because I don't think Savannah would put up with it.
You don't think she's dealing... You think he literally is like, straight and narrow, and I'm going to get everything out when I leave this house. Every bit of my pent-up... Yep. I'm just getting it out online.
These two have been together 20-something, probably approaching 30 years. Yeah, well, no, not that long. But 20-something years.
Yeah.
There's no way she's putting up with
this
crap.
It's close to 30. Because they were high school sweethearts.
So yeah, I mean.
25 to 26, yeah, something like that. You've been in a league 23 years. Because
I think they've been together since we're 15, 16 years old.
He went to prom with the white girl.
I think that was the white girl's prom, wasn't it? Or was it his?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But he wasn't going to prom with Savannah. He wasn't going to every prom with Savannah.
Well, no, because didn't you go to other people's proms? You did that.
Yeah,
probably
but a
Portland
like,
hottie.
I wasn't, no. I wasn't going. Maybe he was just her friend. I just doubt that very much. I doubt that an athlete's going to somebody else's prom and they're not smashing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, y'all go into somebody's prom, mm-hmm, like there's a lot of factors that go into this. Mm-hmm. When an athlete who's like the top recruit in the nation, generational, on the cover of Slam, on the cover of everything, and he's going to some other girl's prom.
No, I understand. Yeah. I understand.
You're killing it. Great stuff as always. We actually do have to take a commercial break. So we love you, man. We're all following. We're waiting to see what video next hits a million.
Love y'all.
All right. Thanks, TK. It's our girl, Trista Crick. Make sure you subscribe to the Let Her Shoot podcast in addition to the Heat Check podcast. We'll come back. There's a couple of things in that conversation, though, that we got to dive into. One of them is Jokic. One of them, in a roundabout way, is the Clippers.
Mm.
We'll explain. Stephen with Casey on ESPN 1320. I felt like I was just going to say something really insightful and don't remember what it was. So I guess we'll just see what TC got to say. 916-909-1320. TC, what's good, bro?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers, D-Lo? Welcome back, bro.
Thank you, my man. Never leaving again, hey. Apparently.
Hey, it was wild. Hey, we were just having fun. You know, we always having fun. We a family.
I heard.
what's cooking too.
Hey, nah, listen. So, hey, I didn't know if you heard my skit, but I'm not going to replay it, though, on the whole Robert Saleh. But, hey, I stand on that. You know, he's a leader of men. But, hey, I kind of want to get in Kenny. What I was saying with Keon, right, Keon is a better player than Devin, right? Mm-hmm. But if we talking, like, holding up, if that's what – hold on, let me back up. If that's going to hold up the deal – then, bro, that's not worth it, right? Get the deal done. But what I'm saying with Devin and Keon, if we're talking defensively, bro, they're on the same level. Devin can jump in the passing lanes and do everything Keon's doing, and he's a better rebounder. Only thing Keon really got on Devin, bro, is the jump shot. That's it. Devin do be looking gas, but as far as staying in front of somebody and jumping, stealing the ball, he can do that in the rebounding. So I will live with that, bro. So it's not like Keon is super – head over bounds better than Devin. Like, he's going in that trade, bro, to bring the athleticism and the wing kelp that we need. That's all I got, D-Lo. Tell me about it.
So, no, hold on. Let Jesse go.
Damn, you okay. Look a little confused.
Yeah, we got to
context.
What happened, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out, did he say head over bounds?
He did say head over
bounds. Yeah.
We know what that means?
I don't.
Okay.
I've never heard of it.
Sorry. All right.
No, but TC's called in like the last 3 days just basically saying like he's down to trade Keon for commitment.
So this is just a continuation.
No, it's the same call for the last, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just trying to get you up to speed, or if we say something after he calls, he's responding to that. So I still disagree. Keon is better than Devin Carter. He's a better defender, and he's definitely better on the offensive end.
Hold on. Can talk to me like I'm five. What is happening here?
Okay. Here we go. While you were sleeping, shout out Sandra Bullock.
It gets pretty wild when you're gone, man.
Yeah, I don't know if you how tapped in you were. Now this goes beyond D'Lo and Casey into King's Twitter. They're the Warriors, the people who reported on it. I think this was like that weekend. We're like, yeah, the offer from the Kings still remains the same. Devin Carter, Sarge, and maybe some picks. That's okay. You know, that yep. can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. While the Warriors are looking for a trade package that includes Keegan Murray or Keon Ellis.
That's too damn bad.
So you come back on Monday and we're talking and everything. And me and Jesse were asking the question and answering the old question too. It's like, yo, Keegan's a no-no. Like, that's just, we ain't doing that. But, like, would you?
We talked about Keon Ellis.
We did talk
about him.
We talked about, and we said no,
Matt George hated us for it.
Matt George, not for saying
no to Keon, no about Keon, but just more so bringing up Keon.
Yeah, Matt George was on the show and then Matt's started texting
me right now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just, it's crazy. So we said no, though. We even said no, but then Kyle Madsen brought the question back up again. He was like, look, you don't want to do it, fine. But if you got into a situation where, because everybody has their own level of leverage right now, the Warriors like, we can get this deal done if you include Keon. If you say no, fine. But, like, we're for real done with this. Like, we're going to sign him or something like that. And then we ask the question again. Like, would you let Keon Ellis stop this trade from happening? And
I would.
I wouldn't.
I'm not trading. Nah.
I wouldn't.
So you
and would- I like I hear that people ain't listening when they do it. I don't want to include Keon at all. But if it got down to it, as like we're really about to be done with this whole thing, you can make the deal, include Keon instead of Devin. I wouldn't give him both, but instead of Devin, you could have Kuminga sign him, do all this other stuff, or we walk away. I would not let Keon Ellis stop this trade from the opportunity to see the potential of Jonathan Kuminga all the way through. And that's kind of TC was just like, yeah, Devin's just as good as Keon. And I completely disagree. Like, I don't want to get like disrespectful or nothing like that, but Keon is way better than Devin Carter, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you in that regard. I don't think I'd be willing to lose Keon Ellis in a trade for Jonathan Kuminga.
Mm. Now, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I got to give you more context.
Okay.
One of the things we also talked about, and this may change your perception. That's why I wanted to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Kings picking up Keon's option, costing him a lot of money. And what if Keon has to, like, yeah, I ain't feeling that. Y'all messed up my money. I'm going to do what I have to do and play this year out, but I'm definitely testing free agency when it comes up. I'm definitely testing free agency. And if somebody's willing to, clearly you're not really willing to give me a whole lot of money. If somebody's willing to give me $10 million I probably would have got on the open market, I'm probably going to leave. Does that change how you feel about that?
Very much so.
Yeah.
I just don't know why Keon would do that.
Do what?
It, that scenario you just presented.
Because they kept him from getting money. And
but did they?
I think if he was on the open market, he would have got, he's probably looking for like $8, $9 million. That's
but he can still get that from Sacramento.
Yeah.
It's a year later than he would want to get it.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that they went to Keon, or I don't believe that they just didn't pick up his option and Keon found out through Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that that happened.
Agreed.
I do wonder if there was, hey, here's the situation we're in right now. Mm. Here's what we're attempting to do right now. Here's where you factor into all of this. This isn't going to make this a cushier blow for you. We want to sign you to a contract extension next year. We want to leave a certain level of flexibility for us to move different contracts and do different things right now. We want to sign you to this extension that you want. We could even talk about dollar figure, whatever. We want to do that next year. We don't want to do it right now. We can't do it right now, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
That might be too intricate. I have to believe there was at least a discussion. Otherwise, why would you even blink at trading Keon Ellis if you're the Kings? Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't, in my opinion. Like, if you thought little enough to not have a conversation with him and his people, right, about the direction in which you're going with your basketball team and with him as a part of your basketball team, then, yeah, you could trade him for nothing. Right. You can just get him off your basketball team.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how they feel about Keon, and I don't think that's what took place.
I hear you.
That's not reporting. That's just an opinion.
I
on a guy who's been around all offseason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He hasn't
been a part
hit
of
away. It. Like he's been at Summer League. He's here. He's
I
a
think,
king.
I think we also had Drew the local guy on, and he was. Saw I that. Think they're. I don't think he was happy with the decision, but I do think they were in communication.
Yeah, and both can be true.
Right.
Both can be true. Like, right. Hey, man, you're due for $10, $12 million. You're just going to have to wait a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And a little bit longer could entail a ACL, an MCL, a Achilles, a bad season. Mm. Like, there's a lot that could happen in that. And you're just kind of working off faith with one another. Mm. And that's a tough thing to work off in professional sports.
So here's the question that I was asking. And I said at the time, it's not apples to apples because there's an age situation. But I was just it's the summer. I'm trying to figure some stuff out, right? If the Utah Jazz said, hey, you know, we miscalculated this Ace Bailey thing. Scott, we'll trade you Keon for Ace Bailey. Would you take that?
Yeah. Like, what would the miscalculation mean?
We thought we could just draft him and he'd be happy here. We were wrong. We're going to have to move him.
Yeah.
So I said, like, I know Ace is 19 and I know Jonathan Kuminga is 22, but what's the difference? If anything, you actually know more about Jonathan Kuminga and, like, you kind of understand what his floor probably is.
Mm-hmm.
And
think a higher ceiling? No?
It's debatable.
I mean,
it's debatable.
I'm sorry. I did that wrong. I don't mean what I think or you think.
Mm-hmm.
You asked what would the difference be. Maybe they would think his ceiling is higher.
Mm-hmm.
Ace Bailey series.
Potentially. I even took the name out of it, and I was like, hey, Utah, the league is fixed. We were just guaranteed the third pick for next year. Would you just trade the third pick next year for Keon Ellis? Yes. Like, yeah. You would take that. So, but the fact that you don't know who the player is and you don't know the name, you know it's not A.J. DeBinsley.
Oh, yeah, we've been over this. Yeah.
They'd absolutely. Be like, oh, in a heartbeat. But because you know Jonathan Kuminga, who's – He's in the same vein as Ace Bailey. He's not a rookie. He's not 19, but he's only 22 years old. You know what I mean?